Good morning. This is Patricia Kohlberg for the Old Mole Variety Hour, your well-read red, with an article about the history of the U.S.-Iran relationship. The corporate media likes to start this history with the overthrow of the Shah Reza Pahlavi in 1979, which conveniently renders the animosity of Iranians toward America as something mysterious. But if you go back further in time, you will find a very good reason for that Iranian animus. I'm going to share with you excerpts from an article titled "The Price of Not Knowing: Iran Corporate Interests and America's Cycle of Violence." The article by Sarah Van Gelder was published in Common Dreams on March 11, 2026. A link to the full article is available on the webpage for this show at kboo.fm. Here's what Van Gelder writes. Why did the United States help topple a democratic government in Iran some 70 years ago? And how did that decision create the conditions we're seeing today? A good place to start would be by asking, how did Iran become our enemy in the first place? To understand how Iran became an adversary, we return to the decision made by the United States and Great Britain to overthrow Iran's Prime Minister, Mohammad Mossadegh. Few Americans know this history. In Iran, though, it is remembered as the moment when the United States claimed the country's petroleum wealth for itself and crushed a democratic government that sought to make life better for ordinary people. Mossadegh was the sort of leader the U.S. should have loved. He was anti-communist at a time when containing the Soviet Union was the paramount U.S. foreign policy aim. He pursued reforms that expanded the rights of women and the political and economic conditions of the poor. He was widely respected internationally and was named Time magazine's Man of the Year in 1951. His fatal crime in the eyes of Western powers was nationalizing Iran's oil production, which had been controlled by the British-owned Anglo-Iranian Oil Company. For British and U.S. leaders, a sovereign nation asserting control over its own resources rather than bowing to a foreign corporation was intolerable. The intelligence agencies of the two nations launched a campaign to destabilize the Mossadegh government with media disinformation, targeted bribery, harassment, lies to religious and political leaders, and orchestrated riots. Finally, in 1953, Mossadegh was overthrown in a coup backed by the CIA and Britain's M16. The Shah of Iran, Mohammad Reza Pahlavi, was restored to power. The government outlawed Mossadegh's National Front and arrested most of its leaders. The SAVAK secret police force conducted widespread repression. Over 130,000 were arrested and thousands were tortured and executed. The Shah's policies furthered the wealth and landownings of his own family and friends, while many farmers couldn't get access to land and were forced to migrate to cities and live in shanty towns. Yet the U.S. built warm relations with the new regime as U.S. corporations gained control of 40% of the country's oil fields, along with access to much of the remaining output. By the late 1970s, however, resentment toward the Shah's authoritarian rule exploded into revolution. In 1979, the Shah was overthrown and the Islamic Republic was born. From that moment on, relations between Washington and Tehran were marked by mistrust, hostility, and periodic confrontation. But the overthrow of Mossadegh was not an isolated episode. The United States has a long history of undermining governments that put their own citizens ahead of U.S. economic interests. In 1954, the CIA helped engineer the overthrow of Guatemala's elected president, Jacobo Arbenz. His crime? Land reforms that would have given poor farmers opportunities for a livelihood. The result of the coup was a series of dictatorships. Political opponents, labor union leaders, farmers, and human rights activists were imprisoned, disappeared, and executed. Land reform was reversed and poverty deepened. 2 decades later, the United States helped destabilize the democratically elected government of Salvador Allende in Chile, culminating in the U.S.-supported military coup in 1973, led by Augusto Pinochet. The resulting dictatorship led to the death of some 3,000 Chileans, economic policies that brought about cuts in the safety net, a massive buildup in military spending, and high unemployment, while international mining companies were permitted to extract enormous profits from subsequent mining operations. The pattern is unmistakable. When governments around the world pursue policies perceived as threatening U.S. corporate interests, Washington all too often resorts to clandestine interference or military attacks. Wars are often described as tragic inevitabilities, conflicts that somehow spiral beyond anyone's understanding. In reality, we set up the next war when we fail to reckon with choices made in previous conflicts that created instability, oppression, abuses, poverty, and resentment. There are lots of players in this game. Well-connected corporations who insist on military support for their control of resources abroad, even when this means undermining another country's sovereignty, economy, and political stability. Political leaders who put Americans in uniform in harm's way and spend trillions in taxpayer dollars to support corporate interests abroad. Apologists for violence abroad who generate anti-communist, anti-Islamic, or other propaganda. Media outlets that repeat official narratives without scrutiny and downplay the harms caused by U.S. foreign policy choices, especially when those impacted are of different races or religions. Defense contractors who profit from excessive military spending, and U.S. citizens who buy the war propaganda, look away from the suffering, and disregard the reasons refugees may be fleeing the chaos and violence. Some may claim ignorance, and others may argue that they are powerless to intervene, but history suggests that silence and complacency can be powerful enablers of atrocities. A majority of Americans disapprove of the U.S. bombing of Iran, according to a CNN poll taken immediately following the launch of the war, but it will take more than passive disapproval to stop yet another war of choice. Reckoning with the abuses of the powerful and naming those profiting from the willful blindness in the face of atrocities are first steps toward ending the cycles of violence. An informed public, asking questions and refusing complicity, is the first step to stopping this and future wars of choice. I'm Patricia Kohlberg, and I've been reading excerpts from an article by Sarah Van Gelder. A link to the full article is published online at the webpage for this show on kboo.fm.